If there's one thing I learned from years of babysitting as a teen, it's that it's a rare girl who can resist a makeup party. Tomboys, princesses, Star Wars nerds, dollhouse geeks, girls who rock out on drums, or girls who prefer quality time with books. They're all helpless against the temptation of an open cosmetic bag and an invitation to experiment on the canvas of the human face. Chloe, who is already an accomplished artist, far more adept with pens, paints, and pastels at 7 than I'll ever be at any age, is especially susceptible to the lure of powders, creams, and anything with sparkles in it. "Oh, yes, Laura," she murmurs, a wicked grin curving her pink lips. "You're going to love this. You're really going to love it, I promise." "I can't wait to see what you've done to me." I return her smile, though I have no doubt she's doing something awful to my face. Chloe is going through a dark period in her artistic journey, a combination of tension with the teachers at her new school, nannies and babysitters who keep bailing without notice, and a disastrous trip to the waterfront to feed what turned out to be ninja attack seagulls has clouded her formerly cheery outlook on life. Gone are the cartoons of dragon princesses and happy frogs she used to love to draw. Any excuse to use green and pink, her favorite colors, together. And in their place are disturbing portraits of murderous seagulls, goblins squatting beneath bridges, and a hissing cartoon creature of Chloe's own creation that she calls the Angry Garfbark. It doesn't take a psych degree to figure out the child is not in her happy place. If she were my kid, I would have pulled her out of that snotty private school the first week and told them to go fuck themselves if they aren't capable of seeing that Chloe is an incredible person worth taking the time to meet halfway. Not every child is going to respond to the same teaching style. Chloe needs time to daydream, draw, and be alone with her thoughts. Forcing her to engage with a group of 20 other kids all day long is exhausting for a serious introvert. The past few times I've watched her for Brendan, after yet another nanny or babysitter called in sick at the last minute, Chloe has barely spoken a word for the first hour. She simply slouches in the overstuffed chair in the corner of my office, listlessly drawing the same cartoon animals over and over again. She's exhausted from being shoved into a mold where she doesn't fit. And damn if I don't feel for the kid. But I know better than to try to talk to Brendan again about my concerns. He appreciates my help with Chloe, but he's convinced the posh school is what's best for his daughter, and that my opinion isn't worth listening to. After all, I'm just a friend he fucked one weekend, not someone who matters.
"Don't move your face."
Chloe presses a tiny finger between my eyebrows, rubbing back and forth, until I relax the furrow there.
"You're going to make me mess up."
"Yes, ma'am." I take a deep breath and force Chloe's dad from my thoughts. I've been doing my best to keep my relationship with her separate from my often strained relationship with Brendan. But it's not easy. Especially when I spend hours looking into sparkly blue eyes that are a mirror of her father's. She's a beautiful kid, as well as clever, sweet, and every bit as stubborn as her old man. "How's your week going so far?" I ask, moving my lips as little as possible in an effort to keep Chloe's canvas calm. "Pierce giving you any more trouble?"
"Yes." Chloe's eyes suddenly go wide. "He's the worst. He showed everyone his butt yesterday."
"What? Why did he do that?"
"He didn't want the girls to play soccer with the boys, so he pulled down his pants and showed his butt. It's called mooning," Serafina said.
I nod sympathetically. "It is, but I didn't realize first graders were big into mooning each other."
"They're not. Just Pierce, because he wanted us to run away. And we did, but it didn't matter. It was already too late. Once you've seen someone's butt, that's it. It's stuck in your brain forever."
"I hear you," I mumble. "I've got my share of butts I would like to forget for various reasons, including her father's strong, sexy ass, and how perfect it looked while he was walking away from me.